Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
Sweden has long stood as a shining example of the perfect society for those who advocate a complete removal of all sexual laws and moral constraints. The Reuters News Service has reported from Stockholm that Sweden has long ago arrived at complete sexual freedom and liberty. Old-fashioned fornication is quite accepted by parents as normal for their youngsters. It is reported that only 5% of the girls and 2% of the boys enter marriage with their purity intact. The Reuters article then asks this question: is this moral deterioration reflected in Sweden's having the highest percentage of suicides of any country in the world? You see, the search for happiness, fulfillment, and acceptance through sexual pleasure is one of man's oldest errors. Isn't it time to return to the Creator and His plan for man's happiness? Isn't it time we face the truth about fornication? Truly, the Bible is the truth that God has revealed to mankind, and in that truth He tells us what we must do and can do in order to be acceptable to Him. We pray that you approach this study of God's Word with an open and honest heart, with a sincere and serious attitude, that you will want to know what God says, and when you learn it, that you will want to obey it. The topic that we discuss today is one that is vitally important to all peoples of all time. It doesn't matter when you look at the history of mankind, sexual immorality has always been a problem. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 1, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for the saints." Sometimes we try to elevate certain people and call them saints, when really the Bible refers to all who wear the name of Christ. All those who are set aside for a holy purpose, that's the meaning of the word saint, should be and should live as saints of God. That means that fornication is one of those things that should not even be named among us. Yet we find all too often it is. For all men seem to fall prey to this particular sin from one time to another. Now, to be sure that we understand the topic that's being discussed, we look back at the original language and we see that there is a word in the Greek language pronounced porne, and it is simply translated as a prostitute. We take from that another Greek word, porneia, and it means unlawful sexual intercourse. When one is married to another and commits this sin, it is usually referred to as adultery. And fornication is the term that we in America use to apply to those who are not married and have sex outside of the marriage bond. However, for our discussion today, we will use the broader definition to include all unlawful sexual intercourse. That's all sexual intercourse outside of the marriage bond. For man knows that he has these particular urges, these sexual desires. God also knows that, for He is our Creator. And God has provided a place for us. He says that it is within the marriage boundary that this sex is allowed. For marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge, says the Hebrews writer, chapter 13. So we see that God does understand our desires, and He understands well enough to have given us a place for them to be fulfilled. Yet outside that marriage boundary, He calls it whoremongering. Therefore, if we commit these sins, we stand in danger of God's judgment. We need to understand a few things about fornication to know the truth that God's Word tells us regarding this terrible sin. First of all, we need to see that fornication begins in the mind of man. We think of fornication as being a physical sin, one committed with the body, and that's certainly true, but it begins in the mind. We find in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 27, that Jesus said, "You have heard that it is said of them of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." There is a heart component, a mental component to this particular sin. It is not purely physical. We see in Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 18, where Jesus said, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, and thus purifying all foods?" And He said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man." The reason it defiles a man is because it comes from the heart. "For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders." We need to understand that although this is a sin committed with the body, it has its beginning in the heart of man. That's why it's so very important that we guard our heart, that we're careful about the things that we see, the things that we hear, the places that we go, the things that we do. For those things that we see and hear enter into our heart and change us. And when they do, oftentimes they change us, but not for the better. We need to also understand that fornication is a sin. Now, in today's world, especially here in the American society, and I know this is true many places abroad as well, fornication is seen as a small indiscretion. It's seen as something that everyone does sooner or later, and it's really not that big a deal. It's nothing to get excited about. But the Bible still describes it as a sin. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 9, Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife to commit the sin of fornication with her. He said, "There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" You see, fornication is a sin, and although it would have been a sin against himself and against Potiphar's wife and against Potiphar himself, Joseph realized that the sin ultimately was against God. When we commit fornication, we sin. We sin against God. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 3 says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God." Do not kid yourself. Do not delude yourself. When we commit the sin of fornication, it is a sin, and it is a sin against God. But it is also a sin against yourself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, beginning in verse 13, "Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto God is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." And he goes on to point out that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that when we commit fornication, we sin against God. We also sin against ourselves. Does God take this matter seriously? We mentioned that many times today man does not. That man sees this as a minor sin, a trivial matter. However, God sees it in a very different light. The Bible teaches us that those who commit this sin and do not repent of it will not go to heaven. In 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 9, he says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." In that list of people, we find fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals, and sodomites. These classes, various classes of sexual sins, and those who commit them do not commit what God considers to be a minor act, but rather those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we can try to soft soap it. We can water down what the Bible actually says. We can tell people it's really not that big a deal, but that's not God's opinion. Ephesians 5 and verse 5 says, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." If we choose that path, and it is a choice, for God has not given us a desire that we cannot control, and if we choose that path of fornication, then we have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. God sees this as a very serious matter indeed. So we see that fornication is a sin. It's a sin against God. It's a sin against ourselves. It is a sin that will keep us from going to heaven. And all of that could be seen as very bad news. But the Bible is a book of good news. And the good news is that we can overcome this sin. In Colossians 3, beginning in verse 5, Paul writes, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things the wrath of God has come upon the sons of disobedience, in once you yourselves once walked when you lived in them." You see, there were many in the church at Colossae who had committed these very sins, and fornication is part of that list. They were guilty of these sins, yet they had overcome them. They had put them away. They no longer lived in these sins. The very first three verses of the same third chapter of Colossians says, "If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." That's how we overcome these things. We bend our will to His. We do what He wants us to do. And if we will humble ourselves and obey His law rather than our own desires, then we can overcome this sin as well as any other sin that we might encounter. Fornication is a sin. It's a sin against God. It's a sin against yourself. It is a sin that will keep you out of heaven. But God says you can overcome by setting your affections on things above.